This is Dakota Free Press, and we're here in Aberdeen at the Red Rooster, the best coffee house in South Dakota, with Dee Knutson from Sioux Falls, who came all the way from Sioux Falls today to circulate the petition for the Open Primaries movement, for the initiative that some folks would like to place on the ballot. Dee, how are you today?
I am just really great. It's fun to be back to Aberdeen. I haven't been here for a few years, and so it's very fun to come, and I'm also going to attend a Hall of Fame induction for a teacher friend of mine. And so I've really just had a very fun day already. I've had a delicious lunch at the, it's just been a really fun afternoon.
Well, we'll see if we can keep the fun going here with a few questions about the Open Primaries Initiative. Now, for those of you listeners who haven't seen this petition yet, pretty simple. It's just, why don't you explain to us the proposal?
This constitutional amendment, Open Primaries South Dakota, is extremely simple. It lets all voters vote. And so the idea is that you walk into a polling place and you're given one ballot, not a Republican ballot, not a Democratic ballot, but one ballot. And so there's more emphasis on candidates and less emphasis on parties. And it is, in my mind, it's much, much fairer system. It's really, I believe that when this constitutional amendment passes, that we will have more meaningful dialogue again in government in South Dakota.
And you said, you know, it's one election, one ballot. This is at primary time. So really the primary that happens in June, well, it would be just like the general election. We walk in November and we each get the same ballot and vote on the candidates. You're saying this does the same thing in the primary.
Yes, that's exactly true. So it's just that, you know, the top two people would advance to the general, regardless of political affiliation. In the case of a legislative district, of course, four candidates would advance to the general. And then we, the voters, would choose our top two. And again, for those people that are concerned about transparency, as far as, you know, political labeling, affiliation, or whatever, that affiliation would still remain on the ballot by state law, not by our wording. Our wording is very simple, and it's everyone gets to vote. Everyone gets to vote in the primary. Everyone gets to vote in the general. And again, I think it's really important that we all remember that all South Dakota taxpayers are paying for primary elections. And I believe that it is an unfair, exclusive system now, and it is very much time for change.
Okay. Now, Dee, and you were talking a little bit there about like house races and that. So, I mean, what you're saying with those is when there are two positions open, the primary would put four people on the ballot, picks the top four, that sort of thing. I'm curious, Dee. We've had a lot of different issues circulated, petitioned this year and in the previous election cycle in 2016. What motivated you to get involved with this particular issue of open primaries?
Well, I actually am really one of these people that really believes in good government. And I've been a member of the League of Women Voters for almost 40 years. And I just, I happen to be a registered Republican at the moment and have been most of my life, not all of my life, but most of my life. But I really believe that this is that our proposal is a much fairer system, because I just think that that it should not be an exclusive system at all. And right now, I just think that everyone's vote, everyone, regardless of their affiliation, should get to vote in both elections, the primary and the general. And I think this will be a great improvement.
Okay. Now, I hope I don't oversimplify the issue here. I know it's a complicated issue, and it's not just a matter of who wins and who loses, but I'd like to have you explore that for me. By allowing anyone of any party affiliation to vote in the primary, and having just one ballot that picks then the top two, or in a, you know, two-seat race, the top four, having a top two primary, basically, we're turning the primary into a preliminary election where the general election then serves as a runoff, right?
That's correct.
Okay, a fair way to characterize.
And yes, and it's a really actually a very simple, it's a very, very simple concept. You know, when you said something about it's more complicated or whatever, actually not. It's very, very simple. Okay. It's a very, very simple for voters to understand that it's a change, but to me, it's a past time for South Dakota to go to this system.
Sure, and you make a good point in terms of simplicity. You know, if we just read the measure on the petition, I believe yours is the shortest by far of any of the other petitions out there. There are other petitions that are like a page or two or five, it seems like.
Yes.
So, but given that, the political outcomes or the impacts of this measure, that's maybe where we get into some complications. I'm curious, who do you think, if anybody, comes out ahead by having an open primary system? Who gains from this?
I believe that the people that would gain from this measure would be the more moderate candidates in mm-hmm. South Dakota and the more moderate voters in South Dakota. I believe that right now the way the system is that the people that there are too many too often a race to the right or a race too often to the left, more of the fringe kind of candidates, issues and so forth, and that we are too often right now electing people to office in South Dakota that frankly don't really represent the majority of South Dakotans. They really don't, but the way the system is skewed is that they are able, that more extremists are able to run and win way more easily. And I actually even believe that we are not electing our best and brightest people right now to South Dakota spots.
Okay, so I mean, as you're saying there, there's maybe a certain kind of candidate, hopefully the moderate type candidate, who'd benefit, but you're saying that benefits everybody in getting us better representation.
Yes, I mean, this system, which I will definitely be on the ballot and hopefully will win in November of 2018, will clearly be a great benefit to South Dakotans in general. I think it'll be a refreshing change from what we have right now. And there'll be just less divisiveness, and there'll be just more, I think, practical solutions. I think more issues will be tackled and solved, because there will not be as much partisan nonsense at the legislative level, et cetera.
Okay. Now, if I'm going to ask who could come out ahead from this ballot measure, it's logical to ask who might be disadvantaged by this measure. Does anyone lose out in any way by having an open primary?
Actually, I do not believe that anyone loses out, because I feel like that that this system would, I'm a strong believer in democracy. I mean, that's what America's about, right? Is democracy, and mm-hmm. I believe that no one will lose out, because the people that, or the ideas that the majority of South Dakotans believe in, that those ideas or those people that represent those ideas will advance. But I do believe that the people that are most threatened by proposals like this are the entrenched political types at both ends of the spectrum, both at the Republican end and at the Democratic end. And again, open primaries will never make like a blue state red or a red state blue or, you know, any of that. I mean, but it clearly will allow for us to return to the days when more moderates were able to be elected to the legislature, to, you know, county offices, to the U.S. House, to the U.S. Senate, to the governor's spot. Clearly, I believe it will be an exciting moment. I'm really, really excited about this proposal.
Okay, because now I've heard, and we can talk partisan politics on this, we're all grown-ups here. Mm-hmm. I've heard some Republicans suggest that, you know, this open primary is just a sneaky way for Democrats to sneak onto the ballot without saying that they're Democrats or something like that. You don't think that's the case? You don't see this as a way to make more of one party or another win?
Yes, no, I've heard that a little bit too, but really that's really ludicrous, I believe, because mm-hmm. the truth of the matter is that even though our wording does not address political affiliation, but by state law, the labels will stay on.
So, on the ballot.
On the ballot. So, I mean, so if a person is a registered Democrat, whatever that is, or a registered Republican, whatever that really is, that the R and the D will still be right there on the ballot by their name. So I don't, I mean, so there's really no, and people will run, I mean, their names will be there, and their whatever their current political affiliation will be there, and so I don't. I think that idea is preposterous.
Okay. Well, let's look down the ticket then, or away from the two parties. How do third party or new party or independent candidates? So your non-Republicans, non-Democrats, how are they affected by the open primary system?
Well, I just feel like that they will be allowed to, that they will gain big time, because right now, most of the decisions are made in the Republican primary, and all of those third party folks, including independents, are totally totally left out. They're totally disenfranchised, really, because they can't vote in the primary where most of the decisions are being made, mm-hmm. which is over here in the Republican primary. Yes, it is true to say that in the last just few years that independents have been able to vote in the Democratic primary. Yeah, that's progress. I support that idea. But the truth of the matter is, very, very, very few Democrats are winning any elections in South Dakota right now. Very, very, very few. And so they, yes, those independents, somewhere around, 254,000. That was the number on May 8th of 2017. I mean, so yes, those independents are getting to vote in the Democratic primary, but almost no real decisions are being made there.
And Democrats haven't really offered many primaries for them to vote in, it seems.
No, and I mean, and I, you know, even though I'm a registered Republican, I believe in a two-party system. And years ago, I was a registered Democrat for many years, too. And I still feel that I'm still the same person as I was. I'm not a party person. I think that's just hogwash for the most part. And I still believe the same way that I did years ago when I was registered Democrat for a while. But it's like, as I'm sure all of your listeners know, is that like in the South Dakota legislature right now, we have 105 legislative spots, and there are only 16 Democrats in the entire legislature, the lowest number since 1954. Now, I myself cannot describe that as good government. That is not good government to me.
Sure, and the hope would be the open primary will engage more voters, hopefully engage more candidates.
Absolutely, and I believe that it will happen really quite quickly once this passes in November 2018.
Okay, I'd like you to explore the question about independent candidates and maybe even the third party candidates some more here. Independents in particular, the last time this was on the ballot, and we'll talk a bit about 2016 in a moment too, A number of people commenting on Dakota Free Press talked about how maybe open primaries put independents at a disadvantage, in that right now, as an independent, if you file your candidacy, you file your petitions, you go straight to the general election ballot. And so on the general election ballot, we see the Republican nominee, the Democratic nominee, other party nominees, and then, boom, there's the independent, like Larry Pressler was on, and I think Gordon Howey ran as independent as well in 2014. The concern I heard expressed from some independent advocates, or maybe just devil's advocates, it's hard to tell sometimes, was that if you make independents stand on the primary ballot, and they do end up on the primary ballot along with all the others, right? If independents are on the primary ballot, they're always going to get third place and never get a chance at the general election ballot. Explore that issue for me. Do you think that's a problem for independents?
Actually, I do not think it is a problem at all for independents. I think it's just the reverse, actually, because right now, from a very practical standpoint, again, first of all, I would like to say that this measure of ours, open primary South Dakota, in no form at all is designed to disadvantage any independents. We think actually that it will be quite refreshing for most independents out there, because from a it's those devil's advocates out there that suggest those kinds of scenarios. Actually, I think I really just don't agree with that, because from a practical standpoint, right now there aren't any independents being elected to anything anyway, mm-hmm. and so that's not a non-event to me. I mean, there's no way in my mind that this could possibly disadvantage them, because we have 105 legislators. There are no independent legislators. I mean, there are. I can't think of it. I'm pretty knowledgeable about this stuff. I'm kind of a government junkie, and I don't believe there's one independent elected to anything right now in South Dakota, nor has there been for quite some time under the system that exists. So I don't see how a new system that allows all these independents, more and more every week, more and more and more independents. Early May, we had 123,000 independents.
Over 20% of the voters, I think,
yes,
right?
And that number is growing every week, as you well know. Mm-hmm. And so to me, the fact that now we are going to let all of these independents vote in the real primary, the South Dakota primary, my goodness, is that will should be very exciting to them. And I think also, you know, from a statistical standpoint, if in fact, for instance, let's just take the governor's race. We'll just take the governor's race. So, I mean, from a statistical standpoint, if there were really a whole bunch of Republicans running, and then maybe, you know, a Democrat or two running or whatever.
Well, like now, yeah, we've got four declared Republicans, at least
yes.
One declared Democrat.
And then if there was an independent person that was really, you know, well-organized, well-respected, well-funded, and just worked, and she or he worked very, very hard. I mean, it's very, very possible. It's possible, maybe not likely, but possible that the votes could be split, you know, like among all the Republicans, that those votes could be split. And if there were enough Democrats that were running, that the Democrats, that vote could be split, and that an independent technically could advance to the general. And again, I mean, everything would have to line up just right for that to happen. But again, we have, you know, independents right now are not winning elections, and in fact, there are very few independents even running because they know that the system right now just does not make it possible for them to, you know, to get very far at all. I mean, like, really, it's barely it's just too difficult for them under the current system.
Sure, and practically speaking, if we look at the data, like you said, no independent has won a statewide race in South Dakota.
Yes.
So their current success rate is 0%.
Yeah, so
there's
how can
nowhere
you go,
to go up.
Yeah.
Nowhere to go but
right,
up.
How can you go lower than zero, you know? I mean, so that's why that argument is really, really frivolous to me.
So it sounds like you'd say to an independent candidate that, look, right now you've got little to no chance of winning the general
yes.
election. You might have more chance of placing second in a primary than you do of placing first in a general under the current system.
Yes, absolutely. And then the other thing is, even if I'm just an independent and I'm not running, you know, and I'm not a candidate, I'm just an independent voter, is that, my goodness, I believe that independents votes, that their votes matter as much as mine, and that and so many, I mean, I think it was 91% of the legislative candidates' decisions were made in the last Republican primary. And I think that's very unfair, because I think all those independents, I think their thoughts, their opinions, their values matter every bit as much as mine.
And I think you're talking about there, you know, a number of legislative districts where all you have are Republicans who run yeah. for the office, and the Republican primary decides it. Or for that matter, I know even in Sioux Falls, there's District 15 where often all you have are Democrats who run. And so being able to participate in the primary is more important than being able to participate in the general election.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, interesting. A few times in the conversation so far, and you're very good at this, you've said multiple times, this issue will pass in November 2018. I appreciate your persistent, dogged optimism. That's important with petitions. But I wonder, a similar measure for open primaries did go on the ballot in 2016, and it did lose 55.5% to 44.5%. So South Dakotans in the last election had a crack at open primaries, and they said, well, the majority said, no, thank you. It wasn't a landslide, but they still said no. So what's the difference this time, both in terms of the measure you're offering them and maybe your sense of why South Dakotans as a whole might give you a different answer this time around?
Well, I'm really, there are just lots of reasons to be more encouraged. First of all, I'd like to say that on Amendment V, which was the open primaries.
The 2016
measure. Mm-hmm. I worked very hard on that for 15 months, so I was very supportive of that and worked very, very hard on that issue. So I was very disappointed when we lost. But again, a major difference between open primaries South Dakota 2018 and Amendment V from 2016 to open primaries is that this time around, the political labels will stay on the ballot, again, not by our wording, not by my personal choice even, but by state law. So for those people that are you know, were threatened by that, or they really wanted, when they go to vote, whether they have one ballot or two ballots or whatever, they want to see beside the candidates' names what the candidate's affiliation is. So it will be there. So for those people that talk about, oh, we need more transparency, it will be there. And then another important difference, I believe, is that, you know, South Dakota, for the most part, is a Republican state. Mm-hmm. And we have the leadership this time around are Joe Kirby from Sioux Falls, who's a good government kind of person.
The leadership of your campaign.
Yes, of our campaign this time. Mm-hmm. And I am working tirelessly on this issue with him. And we are both moderate Republicans. Mm-hmm. So the face of this campaign this time, besides the fact that the labels will stay on by state law, another difference is that we have two hardworking, moderate Republican Democrats that are the face of this campaign, but our advisory committee has independents, well-known independents, well-known Democrats, well-known Republicans. It is definitely a bipartisan team. And then a third factor, I would say, is that we are more organized this time. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have more outreach, community in, organization than we did last time. Not that we didn't want to have that, but I mean, every time a person works on an issue, I mean, one, you'd get smarter, and two, you just get further because you get people involved the first time around, but then the next time around, they're a little bit more involved. And this time around, we have more moderate Republicans and more moderate Democrats that have decided to step out and be out there publicly to help us. And that is really fun and very helpful and essential. So we'll definitely get on the ballot. I expect that we will win this in 2018 because I think most South Dakotans are really tired of just, divisiveness and people who are not, you know, who are elected, who are worrying more about party loyalty and party partisanship than they are on getting issues solved that South Dakotans want to see solved.
But it does sound like among the advantages you listed, I'm intrigued by the organization point, because this ballot question drive, this petition drive, isn't just a, you know, newly flowered group, up off we go. You're building on work you did in 2015, 2016. You can contact a lot of the people you contacted. You can build on the networking there. It sounds like, so how might that affect what your campaign looks like next year then? What different or what more do you think you'll be able to do as a group to promote this measure?
I just believe that, that even right now, collecting signatures, and then again next year when we're in the campaign mode the entire year, it's just going to be so much easier because we've just built much more of a foundation in many, many communities. And for instance, right now we have a very healthy West River effort going on this spring. We held meetings in Pierre, in Rapid City, in Watertown, in Chamberlain, in Vermilion. And I actually organized most of those meetings, not all of them, but most of them. And so, you know, you organize these meetings and you meet people that you've never met before, but yes, they really believe in open primaries. They just didn't really know how to get involved last time. And now they've signed up with me to be a circulator, for instance. And I have right around 80 circulators that I found from all over the state. And other people have also found circulators. And so, I mean, we have so much more foundation, much stronger backbone to our organization than we did last time, that it is much easier, and we know each other better too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no problems among us last time. I mean, we all are good government people and we all know and respect each other. And so there were never any problems among us, but now we even know each other better. We know our strengths and our weaknesses, and we are really rolling. It's very exciting.
Good. Now, I do have a question on behalf of your Sioux Falls neighbor, Mark Mickelson, who's doing his own ballot petitioning. Yes. And Representative Mickelson is very concerned about the influence of out-of-state money in these campaigns. So tell me, Open Primary South Dakota, how much of your support is coming from out-of-state donors and out-of-state interests?
Well, actually, we just have many people who live right in South Dakota that are writing checks, including Joe Kirby and me, once again, and so forth. But putting constitutional amendments on the ballot is a Herculean task. It would be nice if it were easier to do and so forth, and if it were easier for us to go out and collect, 27,741 valid signatures like at coffee shops like I'm doing today, but it's actually almost impossible to tell the truth. And so we are once again working with a national nonprofit that also believes in good government called Open Primaries, and offices in New York City, and they have provided us 140,000, which is publicly already known, to just help us with a paid portion of our collecting our signatures. And so that is very much appreciated and very helpful. But considering the entire project, there are just many of us regular South Dakotans who are collecting signatures from our closest relatives and friends and neighbors to get this issue on the ballot. And so we're really stressing the volunteer portion. But yes, there is a over here to the side, there is professional operation going on to help us collect that many signatures.
And an operation, like you say, that arises from just the reality of trying to get that many signatures in this short of a time frame. There need to be resources invested in that part of the project.
Yes, and
right?
I think that anyone that thinks that they can do this without outside money is probably kind of joking. I mean, kind of teasing themselves or deluding themselves, I might say. I have not had a conversation recently with Mark Mickelson on this topic, but I mean, he very much knows from his, he's a very smart, very experienced legislator, and he knows that this process is huge, and he's finding that out, I'm sure, more and more every day as he works on his own ballot issues. And I don't want to speak for Mark Mickelson, but I believe in his heart that he probably likes the idea of open primaries.
Well, we'll try to get Mark Mickelson on the next program to talk to Dakota Free Press. We'll hear that straight from him. I'm curious, if you don't mind, if we slide a little bit from open primaries mm-hmm. itself to the petition process mm-hmm. you're engaged in. I mean, you're in it this year. You did it last time around. Mm-hmm. And we do have a task force in the legislature, looking at ways to, we hope, improve the petition process for all concerned and support this South Dakota institution of, voter ballot initiatives and referenda. How has your experience as a circulator and organizer maybe influenced your thinking about initiative and referendum? And maybe what improvements can you see that could be made to the process to make it easier to do what you're doing?
Well, I very much follow the work of that task force and so forth, and I actually don't believe that we need really any changes. We sure don't need to make the process any more stringent. And I say this very sincerely and not flippantly, is that I look forward to the day that, which will be soon, that open primaries is in place in South Dakota, because then we will return to electing more moderate office holders that are really smart people that want to find practical solutions for South Dakota. And I believe when that happens, there'll be even fewer efforts. There'll be less and less of a need for initiatives and referendums and more constitutional amendments in the future, because the average South Dakotan will be more better represented than he or she is right now.
And as the sense is, initiative and referendum are sort of a response to a legislature that isn't responding to the key interests or wants or needs of the public.
Yes, I just believe that right now, in general, that we have more and more people who are elected because of the system in place, not because they represent the majority of South Dakotans. It's just that the system in place very much favors them, and that we have more and more intolerant folks that have been elected to represent our whole state who really do not represent the majority of South Dakotans, but they have won the election because of the way the system operates.
And let's wrap up by talking about those South Dakotans. You and Joe Kirby and everybody else, you're talking to a lot of South Dakotans. hopefully getting a lot of signatures. How are people responding to you and your circulators when you talk to them? What are you hearing?
People are responding very favorably. You know, again, there aren't a lot of people out there that just feel real, real comfortable actually circulating a petition. But when you actually go to them, I very seldom find anyone that will not sign. I mean, once in a while, again, if someone is kind of part of the entrenched process right now, I mean, those people are, again, are a little threatened by opening it up. So some of those people say no thank you, Dee, but for the most part, people really of different ages, different, you know, economic levels, very much support this concept. And in fact, just yesterday I received a petition back from a well-known, well-loved, well-respected doctor in Brookings. And he's been a friend of mine for a long, long time. And he has finished, he sent his first petition to me, and he's one third done with his second one. And he sent me just a little note and said, Dee, not one person I asked refused to sign. Not one person.
So if you have those conversations, and if you can expand that into your campaign and get that message out to people, you're pretty confident you can flip that vote from last time. And instead of a 55% no, you can get that 55% yes or more.
Yes, and we do. I mean, we just have former elected officials who last time around supported us quietly, but now this time are out there publicly. They're going to be speaking in our. They're going to be participating in our speakers bureau. They've written us some nice checks already, and they are going to be out there. And we could have used them out there last time, but they weren't quite ready to step over the line, and now they're with us, and I'm so appreciative that they are, I'm so appreciative of their courage and their willingness now to help us cross the, to win this time.
Those kind of advocates make a difference in a campaign, right?
Yes, I mean, most definitely, and again, I am working 24/7 on this, but I am extremely enthusiastic. Joe Kirby is an incredible leader, very, very organized and very just on top of things. And he's very fun to work with. And I work hard to do as well as he does. And we are very optimistic that, for sure this will be on the ballot. And there's just no doubt in my mind about that. And I'm really believe that it will pass on November 7th.
And you did say for sure it's going to make the ballot. So I will ask, you have 5 weeks left. Going to get enough signatures?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
How many do you have now?
I myself have only collected about of 40. Joe Kirby already has 100, but anyway, so I don't have the total right now with me because I'm not keeping track of that. But again, between the volunteer portion and the paid portion, is that we have a formula and we have a schedule, and I myself have 80 circulators out there, and
80 circulators,
80 circulators,
80 circulators,
80, they have petitions. That doesn't mean that they're all following through exactly, but I don't know. So now I'm trying to harvest, wherever you are, send in what you have, get them notarized, send them in, and then start working on your second petition. So again, I don't have very many of those in yet, but yes, I will stand by what I just said, is this constitutional amendment to improve government in South Dakota will definitely be on the ballot in November 2018.
Very good. And if people want to sign, if they want to circulate, if they want to donate, what's the easiest way for them to reach you to do that?
They can call me anytime. My cell number is 310-4367. We have an email address, opsd2018@gmail.com. And so again, that's opsd2018@gmail.com if they want to email us. And we're looking for more circulators. We're looking for more signers. We're looking for people to later next year be in our speakers bureau. And of course, we are definitely looking for contributions right now.
All right, Dee Knudsen, Open Primary South Dakota, circulating petitions now. Signatures are due November 6th. Folks, if you want to support that measure, Dee told you how to get a hold of them at Open Primary South Dakota. Dee Knudsen, thank you for speaking with Dakota Free Press.
Thank you so much for interviewing me.